You may be seated. Well, that was a powerful song. And we serve a powerful God. A powerful God. And the presence of the Lord is here in our midst this morning. Amen. The Lord give me a message here to speak. It's on focus. And I would title it, Bringing Your Life Back into Focus. And how many times do we know that in our life, things get out of focus? And I believe this year, talking about focus, I believe Pastor Ken 120% heard from God on that. This year is for everyone here, that we need to refocus. And as I was preparing my message, you know, I was thinking about how things get out of focus. And everybody here that wears glasses, when you take your glasses off, everything's out of focus. You know, I know there's people here, and I can kind of see faces. And I can kind of maybe guess who some are. The closer, farther you get back, I can't. But as soon as I put my glasses on, things come into focus. And I mean, those that don't have problems with their glasses, they can look at the screen there and see things out of focus. And you know, the enemy would like us to live our lives out of focus. He would like us to live our lives in a blur, never focused on things. And we have things in our life that cause us to get distracted or get off focus. You know, how many times, I mean, I know that I can get off track, off my focus, and I'm sure everybody here can. Something may come up in their day, and you may have this planned right out, and then one little thing happens, and then it kind of wants to throw your whole day off. You know, in our lives, there's many things that try to throw us off track. You know, maybe everything's going right along fine and dandy, and then all of a sudden you get sick, and the enemy throws you off track. And I mean, I experienced that last year this time. I got so sick, and it was trying to throw me off track for what God wanted me to do. You know, and I had to get back on track. I mean, you may be in a marriage and things are struggles and something happens that throws you off track. It could be a work-related thing. You know, something happens and your job is not there anymore and then it throws you off track and you got to go look at another job. But, you know, we have all these things in life that throw us off track, puts things out of focus. You know, and when it does, it kind of holds us back from what God wants for us. Because, see, he has things for us, but when it's blurry, it's hard to see. But when it's clear, we can do the work. Today, I want to really talk about us as individuals here, as people a part of this congregation, this body, people as a part of the body of Christ, that this is a year to bring our lives back into focus. Not allow the distractions from here to there. Use our spiritual glasses to see. Some of you folks don't have spiritual glasses. I brought this. This is not my man purse, but it is my man purse. It's a real man's purse. Because hunters carry these, to, you know, to be able to see their prey, right? I use that a lot this fall looking for a moose. And you know what? But first of all, that doesn't even work because they're totally blinded. Then I have to take these caps off. How many times in our life our eyes get blinded? Totally blinded to things. But this helps me see far. It helps me see farther than my human glasses, my human eyes. see over mountains, through little dips, valleys, see these things that you don't even know is there. You see, it's important today, we're going to talk about our spiritual eyes and our spiritual lenses, but it's important we use our spiritual techniques that God gives us to see forward, to see through the brush, to see through the trees, to see through to the dream, to see that calling that he has for your life. Focus. What things are out of focus in your life? How are you seeing things? Are you seeing them through your natural eyes or your spiritual eyes? You see, what happens first in our life with these distractions and everything in a blur, we tend to forget who we are. Have you ever just forgot who you are? And you said to yourself, who did this? You know, or who am I? You know, and you get off track, you're blurred. And you see, we do the same thing in our spirit with us as a human being. You see, my first point is your identity is in Christ. We're going to bring back the focus. First of all, the focus on is who you are. Your identity is in Christ. Your identity is not in yourself. It's not in man. It's not in the natural. But it's in Christ. In Corinthians it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. I'm just reminding us to bring us back into focus who we are. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new person because Jesus lives in you. You're a new person because Jesus lives in you. And you know what else? That old man's gone. I don't live like I used to live. I'm not that person anymore. I'm a brand new person. I have Jesus living on the inside of me. I don't see things the same way anymore because of my identity, who I am, who you guys are. In Romans it says, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellowship heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessings and inheritance. If indeed we are sharing in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. Our identity is in Christ. You are a child of God. You are an heir of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are a child. You're connected to the one that's above everything, the one that has a name that's highly exalted. You're connected to Emmanuel. I'm God's child. Why do I need to get off track? Off focus. I'm his son. I'm a joint heir with him. I have the same rights in my life that he does. He gave those rights to me. I walk in power. I walk in authority. I walk clean before him. You're an heir. It's no different if you were born to a king and a queen. When their children walk in the room, do you think they don't get any recognition? There's recognition. Oh, the king's kids are here. We better stand up. Even Donald Trump, his kids, when they walk in the room, everybody recognizes them. Why don't you think that when we walk into a room that people don't recognize that the power of God lives within us and that we're full of his power and his anointing? You see, we're the kings of the kingdom. There's power there. He's given us power. Favor is on us. Weapons of our warfare are mighty. We're an heir of the king. When we walk in here, every evil spirit should just shudder and just run out the door. Because the anointing, the blood of Jesus is on me. I'm not scared of any demon. I'm not scared of any devil. Because I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I say has to happen. Because I'm speaking in his authority. Because he gave me all right and all authority and all power. He says, greater works than these shall I do. Your identity is in Christ. Don't take second place. Don't let your vision get skewed. Don't let your vision become blurred by the surroundings or the things that hit you every day. The darts that are thrown off to you. You see, he wants us to just keep go out of focus like those cameras, right? So we're not looking to the King of Kings. He's trying to get us to get our eyes off the King of Kings. He's trying to get us to get our eyes off of what he spoke over our life. Keep your spiritual eyes tuned. Keep them focused on him. If they get out of focus, dial them in. You see, every Tuesday now and Thursday, we come here for prayer at noon. And we're starting to try to encourage everyone in this church to pray. You know, if you can take a few minutes on your lunch hour to come and pray, even if you only get 20 minutes here, or if you can't come, find a place at your workplace and pray, or at your home. But you know, when we begin to pray, there's a power that comes on us. There's a power that comes on our church and our life and everywhere we go. We need to focus back in and turn them spiritual tuners in. And that's how we'll do it in our. Your identity is in Christ. Do you know you're highly favored of God? You're highly favored of God. Don't ever forget that. Because he'd tell you you're not. He would tell you you're worthless. He would tell you you don't count. But you do. Because you're an heir of the king. We're his children. We've been adopted into the family. And all his rights become our rights. I got the keys to his Ferrari. To my daddy's car. I got the keys to my dad's house. Think about it. You have the keys to your father's house. You have the keys to everything that you need to keep you in focus. Don't let the things of the world distract you. Don't let your natural thoughts skew things. Number two is God has put purpose in you. I believe God's put purpose in every one of us. In Ephesians it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Did you get that? We are his handiworks. We have purpose. I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to go along with this. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. You're God's special possession. If you don't think so, he sent his son down here to die on the cross for us, shed his blood for us. You're special. And if he did that, he had a purpose for your life. God's special possession. that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Jeremiah says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to hurt you. He has plans to prosper us, not to hurt us. Get your spiritual eyes focused back on the King of Kings. He wants to prosper us. He doesn't want to hurt us. We look at all these things that take place to us and we blame God for it. It's not God's fault. Put your eyes back on the source and not on the circumstance. Plans to give you hope and a future. This is the rest of that. He has plans to give us hope and a future. This is good news to us. We're not only a child of the King. We're not just born into some rich family now that has no purpose, which you'll see lots of people born into a rich family and they have no purpose because they got so much money and this and that, and they just live life without a purpose. We're born into the wealthiest family in the world, but God has a plan. He has a purpose for every individual in this place. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're middle-aged, if you're old. You can be 80 years old and God still has a plan for your life. Some people don't fulfill that plan till later in life. But it's a big picture. And we're a piece of this picture. We're a little piece of that puzzle. And we fit in there. We fit into his plans. He's made us. We're just bringing things back into focus, into a spiritual focus. The enemy would say that you're worthless, you don't count, nothing's going to go your way. Well, the devil is a liar. Because I just read we have purpose. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He's had that plan since you were born. He had that plan before that. His purpose. Tune in your spiritual lens. He has purpose. My third thought, which I want to concentrate on the most, is seeing things through God's lenses. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, declare the Lord, your ways. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And my thoughts are not his thoughts. Now that sounds a little, I'm confusing you a little bit. But I want you to realize that we need to have God's thoughts. My thoughts always get in the way. But when we get these spiritual thoughts from God, things change, right? We're in his plan. We're in his purpose. We're where he's doing things. And when we see things through God's eyes, then we're walking out what God wants for us, for his kingdom. But we want to take our spiritual glasses off, and we want to begin to start to see things the way I see things. Right? You see, in the Bible, there was two men that seen things God's way, different than everybody else. It was Caleb and Joshua. Some people know about this story, but God had done many great things for the children of Israel. And they were in the wilderness. And God told Moses, he said, gather up some spies and go in and spy the land of Canaan that I want to give you. So he sent some in there. They all come back negative, but two men, Caleb and Joshua. They seen things through God's eyes. When they went in there, first of all, The ones that were negative, that were looking at the natural, they were saying there's giants in this land. We can't take it. Oh, yeah, it's a prosperous place. It's full of lots of good things. But the giants are too big. We can't win this battle. We can't overcome this. This promise that God gave them, they were shooting it down because what they were saying. And the dream they had been trying to live, knowing that they were going to leave the wilderness and go into the promised land, you see. But Caleb and Joshua had a different mindset. They were seeing things through these spiritual eyes. And they said, you know what? We are well able to go up and possess that land. Take that over. They were seeing this dream. What happens? The people that didn't have the dream, that couldn't see through the spiritual eyes, what happened to them? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. How many times do we wander around because we're not using our spiritual eyes? I don't want to wander around 40 years in ministry and lose what God's plan, what His dream is for me. I don't want our church to. We need to start dreaming. We need to begin to dream like God dreams. We need to see things like God sees them. Like He sees us healthy and whole. That's spiritual. He sees us delivered from addictions. He sees us saved. He sees us different. But sometimes we don't see things that way. You know, and we need to begin to dream dreams and daydream. And you were in school and your teacher told you not to daydream in class. But I don't mind you daydreaming in church. When I go to bed every night, I dream about this church. I dream about the walk of lights. I dream about having 800 people or thousands of people outside waiting to get into church. That's what I dream about. That's what we should be dreaming about as a congregation. That people from the community are coming in and experiencing the power of God, the life-changing power of God. Dream those things. I can remember as a child having a dream that I would be ministering to hundreds and hundreds of people. What are you dreaming? Are you dreaming God things? I'm laying in bed at night. I'm dreaming that I see people get up out of wheelchairs. I'm dreaming that I see people that are walking with crutches start walking normal again. I'm dreaming about people that are that have Parkinson's set free, people with sugar diabetes, marriages restored. I'm trying to open my spiritual eyes up and tune in and focus in on what Jesus wants us to see. And we need to have some dreams. And if you don't have some dreams in life, you need to dream. You need to get some dreams. They need to be spiritual dreams from God. If you're stagnant, just hanging out in the same place, you got a problem and you need to get closer to God and get focused on what He wants. God wants us to have dreams. The dreams that might have seemed to fall away that you knew God give you, you need to start thinking about them again. You need to start letting it get back in your spirit. Because God has a plan for every one of us. He has a purpose, and we have an identity with Him. When we begin to see things, we begin to see like Caleb and Joshua, that we're well able to go up and possess the land. And they were the only two out of everybody that seen the promised land of their generation. I'm telling you, I want to see the promises of God be manifested in our midst. In our lives, in your lives, just focus on the spiritual things and not the natural things. You see, that little woman that had the issue of blood, she was focused on him. All around her looked terrible. No results in life. Trying to get over this sickness. But she said, if I can just touch his garment. And you know, like, she must have had such an insight in the spirit realm. Because there was crowds of people. And there was no way to get to them, hardly. But she just kept pressing in and pressing closer and pressing closer. And that's what we need to do, is keep pressing closer to Jesus. Keep pressing in, and the focus gets closer every time we press in. And we get closer to that mark. We get closer to that target. And she had so much faith and was so much insight in her that she said, I don't even need him to pray for me. All I need to do is touch his coat. All I need to do is touch his coat. How are you seeing God? How are you seeing your situations? Are you looking at it like it's a mountain that can't be removed? We all have mountains that we face. But we can climb them mountains. We can see over the other side. We can see where our Master and our Savior is. Finally, I'd like to say that everyone here needs to live out the gifts and callings God has placed on you. Who has saved us and called us with his holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Every one of you here has a gift and a calling. Every one of you. Don't let the enemy sidetrack you. Don't let him say you're not called. But everyone here has a gift and a calling. And it's different for everyone. This is the year to focus on our gifts and callings. You see, if we focus on our gifts and callings and we walk those things out, we do destruction to the devil's territory. When we're not focused, when we're not living out what God has placed in our heart and our life, we're not doing a service for God. But when we all begin to get focused and get channeled and know what the dreams he's given us and our gifts and our callings that he's laid in our heart, and it might have been since a little kid or it might have been just lately, when we begin to walk them out, we begin to do exploits for God. And we need to be that type of people. God is looking for that type of people this year, that are dreamers, that are walking out their calling, that are not just hearers only, but they're doers. You see, the Word talks about that. Don't be just hearers, but be a doer of the Word of God. What he's called you to do, launch out. Fulfill the plan that God has. We can do our part to reach this city if we'll all step up, fulfill that piece of the puzzle that makes the picture complete. Let's all stand. We're going to pray, but I just want everybody to take a minute just to bow their heads. And I want you to just think about how you need to bring yourself back into focus this year. How many people here would just lift their hands and say, you know what? I was out of focus. I was out of focus. I need to get focused. I need to get focused. That's right. We all pretty well here are feeling that way. Just take a minute and just search your heart. Just talk to the Lord for a minute. Then I'm going to pray. Just spend some time and just search your heart and talk to him. please. I'd like you to just keep your heads bowed, and I'd like you just to say some words back with me, a prayer, and only say them if you mean it. Don't give lip service. Say, Father, I'm sorry for getting out of focus. Forgive me of that. Give me the motivation to bring myself back into focus. Help me to keep my eyes set on spiritual things. May this year I be focused to live out the gifts and callings that are placed on my life. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that your anointing will rest on every individual in this house. I pray that a spiritual awakening will come in their spirit from this moment on, Lord, that this year they will be conscious about being spiritually focused. Not naturally, not looking through their own lenses, but looking through the spiritual lens and fulfilling the dreams and callings that you've placed in their life. Lord, I pray that you'll move them from being a hearer to a doer. Convict them. Let them not be happy if they're not doing what you want for their life. Lord, I pray that this year we'll experience a supernatural revival in our hearts and in our lives and in our church. Lord, I pray that we will wake up Kitchener through our church and through our lives. Lord, I speak these things. I speak the favor of God on their lives. I speak the power of God. I come against any works of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus that would try to destroy families. In the name of Jesus, I take the authority of Jesus Christ, and I command your hands to be taken off, devil, off of families right now in the name of Jesus, and off marriages right now in the name of Jesus. I bind and curse that spirit in the name of Jesus. May it be broken right now in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom in the name of Jesus over these people. The bondages that may have bound them, I speak a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom in the name of Jesus. May they be released of things that have bound them for years. We rebuke the enemy and the devourer in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. We declare these things in your precious name over their lives. Take these words and keep it close to their heart, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Turn your spiritual eyes on. When you walk out the building,